carrot seed is amazing for any sun protection. It has a really high SPF. Also anti-aging, good for fine lines. Rosehip seed oil is very high in vitamin C.
Okay.
So a lot of people will buy really expensive vitamin C serums. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll see celebrities with these overpriced, like, hundreds of dollars for this, like, small bottle of vitamin C serum. And more times than not, it's a synthetic vitamin C.
Oh, geez.
So I like to try to do a whole foods approach by still getting those same attributes, but pulling them directly from the plants.
Mm-hmm.
So rose hip has 3 times more vitamin C than an orange.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
So things like that, along with like sea buckthorn, it's a fantastic berry that grows in Ontario. And so why not, like, let's use this amazing nature that's around us, that's right here. We don't always have to be importing these exotic oils when we've got this amazing plant here. And sea buckthorn is, like, high fatty acids and omegas, and it's just really good for any redness, inflammation, cell regeneration. So the combination of those, I think it kind of tackles all the different issues that you can kind of have as you start aging.
I'm Holly Braddock, registered nutritionist, nutrition nerd, and chocoholic. I use functional nutrition to help motivated women go from surviving to thriving so they can experience massive shifts in mood, energy, and productivity. Achieve deep healing and reach your highest potential by ditching the diet and tuning into your body's needs. This podcast brings you actionable tips on how to optimize your physical and mental health. I pick the brains of female entrepreneurs in the KW wellness community so you can get empowered to take charge of your health and love your life. Hey guys, this week I'm chatting with Natalie of Here on Earth. From the moment I met this lady at a local market, I was blown away by her passion for herbalism. I had never met someone who grew and harvested their own herbs locally and turned them into skincare products. This is honestly something I've always wanted to do myself. It's a dream of mine to grow and harvest my own medicinal herbs. So you can bet that I will be over at her garden this summer, soaking up all the info I can and getting my hands dirty. Natalie's passion for skincare stems from her daughter's health journey with eczema and other health issues. If you struggle with any kind of health or skin issue, anything from acne to eczema, aging skin, and fine lines, this episode is a treasure trove of info. And something that I learned is that there's actually so many plants that are native to Ontario that can help with your skin issues. It's also super important to know where your ingredients are coming from. Herbs and products from overseas are often laden with contaminants and preservatives, and by the time you get them, the active ingredients are often inactive and ineffective. By the end of this episode, you'll be inspired to ditch the expensive creams full of sketchy ingredients and make the switch to natural, effective skincare. Hey guys, thanks for joining us on another episode of the Mindful Vitality Podcast. I'm here today with Natalie from Here on Earth. Welcome.
Hi.
So Natalie Colaris is a chartered herbalist and owner of Here on Earth. She's a local herb grower with a property just outside Waterloo region. And she grows medicinal herbs with her family and then uses them to create healing teas, tinctures, oils, and salves. She's an advocate for empowering yourself to confidently take charge of your own natural healing. She teaches gardening and green beauty workshops in and around the community. So,
fantastic.
Does that sum it up?
Yes, it does. Hi. sorry. I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me, Holly.
Yeah.
This is exciting. First time doing a podcast, so we'll see how
awesome
this goes. So today I'm just going to talk about skin. I think,
Do you want to start by telling us about your journey that kind of led you into herbalism?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it definitely started with my daughter and her eczema issues as a child. Uh-huh. So skin has always been a focus of my practice, as well as kidney health, because she was born with something called multicystic dysplastic kidney disease.
Oh, okay.
Essentially, that just means that her left kidney had grown into multiple cysts and never formed fully formed. So mm-hmm. she was only born with one functioning kidney. So when we started having issues with her eczema from a baby, we go to the doctor, we go to the specialist, they're mm-hmm. told, okay, cortisone cream, yeah. cream, that seems to be the, like, just cover all for a lot of skin conditions.
God. Which is a steroid.
Yes, absolutely. And because it is a steroid, then I was concerned about anything, you know, anything that goes on the skin and in the mouth ends up in the blood, and then mm-hmm. your kidneys need to filter it. So with her only having one kidney, I knew that I needed to find something that I felt comfortable and safe applying on her while we were working on the inner gut issues that mm-hmm. was causing the actual eczema. So I ended up leaving my social services background and that career, and started going to school for herbalism. Mm-hmm. Essentially started making a few salves that worked really well for her, using some local herbs, and then it kind of just blossomed into a full business because there seemed to be quite a demand out there for mm-hmm. parents looking for all natural solutions to skin conditions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. So what would you say are your favorite herbs to work with?
I am a huge advocate of local herbs. Everyone can be drawn to different herbs. It's really whatever, like, you're feeling, what you're feeling drawn to, what's on your heart. I find, I used to ask that question a lot when I was in school, like, okay, so my child has a cold. I would ask my professors, like, what is the best herb for the cold? And they would kind of give me this, like, oh, well, you know, there's lots of them, like, whatever you're feeling drawn to. But I wanted such a black and white response. I'm like, tell me, is it echinacea? Is it, like, give me a name.
Yeah.
But over time, I've realized that the ones that I kind of vibe with or just feel drawn to may not be the same that you are feeling. Mm-hmm. So I like to do the ones that I can find in the southern Ontario wild. If I'm just going and foraging for a hike, I like to find the ones that are just like the native herbs around here. So if I had to name some, it would be like your St. John's wort, your echinacea, yarrow. Yeah, I would.
And these are all native
to
southern Ontario?
Yeah, you can find them.
Is it mullein?
Yeah,
is that
mullein,
one of them too?
Mullein, you can find. That's a fantastic herb as well.
Yeah.
There's so many that get overlooked that you don't realize. I've been recently into horsetail, which is good for the kidney, mm-hmm. finding more by kind of watery ditches.
Okay.
It's just as you kind of learn to recognize mm-hmm. them, it's pretty neat, but yeah, those are the ones that I've kind of been feeling in the wintertime. I like to go for roots. So it's sort of whatever.
Have they, like, I heard the roots are more grounding kind of.
Yeah.
Nurturing.
It's also, like, in the wintertime, I just, it can be really depressing for herbalists that deal with, like, green and just lush and fresh and these living plants in the summertime, and then in a Canadian winter, it just goes. So I think the roots to me kind of remind me that there still is life, even though it's just kind of underneath the surface. It's in hibernation, but it's still concentrated. Roots are good to get end of fall because the energy leaves the leaves and the aerial parts of the plant and goes back down into the roots.
Okay. That's kind of symbolic for, like, life in Canada in general. Like, we kind of just hibernate in the winter and, like, life kind of goes underground in a way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree. It's beautiful.
I have some favorites, too, actually, in terms of, well, as a nutritionist that focuses on gut health, like, my favorites are usually the ones that kill the bad bacteria because most people have too much bad bacteria. So I like things like berberine, lemon balm, I like, especially for the anti-anxiety effects, but it's also great for gut. And then the other one that I really like is, I mean, everyone knows about oil of oregano, but I like that it's so useful for people. Like if someone's on a medication, like an antidepressant, it's one of the few that won't usually interact.
Yes.
I don't say that for sure, but a lot of times, like it's my go-to as like a more safe option because other ones will, but Those are some of my favorites.
That's absolutely. Lemon balm is just that amazing herb that's so versatile. Like, yeah. It could be good for skin, for immune support, stress, anxiety, going through a cold. Mm-hmm. Like, it's this fantastic herb that I totally get that.
I got, Dr. Spark got me hooked on lemon balm tea for bedtime for helping fantastic. With sleep. And then when that's not enough, some nights I also have the lemon balm tincture by my bed. So I'll have a few drops if I'm still having trouble sleeping.
For sure. No, it's fantastic. Yeah.
So tell me a bit about what makes Here on Earth different.
What I like to explain to people is the importance of me actually growing the herbs to get the ingredients for any of the skincare, any of the salves. I think growing a herb from seed and being able to be with it throughout the entire process, ensuring that it's getting the nutrients that it needs, the amount of sun, that it's being harvested at the proper time of the day. That way then you're going to preserve all the medicinal constituents that it has, and just the proper preparations and the different methods that are required to get the oils, to dry it for the teas, making sure the correct amount of heat or no heat is applied in these methods, which I'm not necessarily sure if, you know, if you're just ordering some oil from wherever, it could be overseas or somewhere, you can't guarantee the quality of the final product. So I find that sort of thing tends to set us a bit aside from other people, because it's the extent of going and doing the gardening and all the behind the scenes work just to get the oil in order to make it into a skincare. It ends up being quite a long process, but I do find in the end you just get a much higher quality product.
I like knowing where it comes from, because these days, especially with some herbs, like, you don't know where they came from, or like if their country of origin, they have like, you know, contamination in the ground of some chemicals or something, or radiation.
Absolutely. No, I agree, because you can't guarantee if there has been any sort of contaminants in the way. And also you don't know how long it's been sitting in that distribution center or wherever before it got to.
Yeah.
Like, you should really use dried herbs within 1 year after drying them. So that's important. So a lot of the teas that you're potentially buying, like, at that, by the time you actually consume it, may have very little medicinal properties. And then some people that's how they'll shy away from natural stuff, because it's like, oh, well, it didn't work for me. But if you're actually doing it in the way that it's meant, they're very beneficial. I think there was some studies that were done in some of the teas that were made overseas, and like how carcinogenic they were, the toxicity levels of all the different pesticides that were on them. And I mean, at that point, like, you're better off not even trying to consume the herb.
Just drink water.
Exactly.
We need to have more toxins to our life.
Sure.
Oh, man. Did you want to tell us a bit about, like, in terms of using your products for skincare versus traditional store-bought products, and like how you're avoiding all those toxins and everything?
Well, that's a really good question, because originally I had set out, and I would still say I do, everything I make you can essentially eat. I think that our body, we need to treat our skin the same that we would our diet. Like, you're feeding it, you're feeding it skin food. Your body is not going to recognize something if it can't see it as food or energy. So if you, say, buy a cream that's got some aloe in it that's been sitting in a plastic bottle on the shelf for 2 years, it has to have a certain amount of preservatives in order for that to happen without spoiling. And if you use that cream, you're thinking, oh, it's got aloe in it. But the amount of aloe that you're actually getting is very little, because it's got polysorbate 80 in it. Mm-hmm. And then your body puts up a defense and is like, what is this? I can't recognize this. And it will kind of go into a defense mechanism, and you're not receiving the medicinal part of that as well. Whereas if you strip away all of that and you just get straight to the skin food, your body is going to be way more receptive to how you're treating it and what you're treating it with. I think avoiding there's certain products I just will find myself never being able to make because you can't find a way to make them without using preservatives.
Okay.
So I will specifically avoid certain products in my product line just because they require a preservative and it doesn't go well with my philosophy of skin food.
Mm.
Yeah.
We actually use one of your serums.
Living Glow.
Yeah. I'm like, something glow. I can't remember the first part at the clinic. And I know Kristen uses it often with her facial acupuncture clients and people are like raving about it. And Kristen amazing. Herself too. She's like, oh, it's so nice. Like, yeah. So that is an amazing mix of oils. I think that's, especially for women with aging skin, it's so important. And I'm entering this phase of my life where I'm noticing like, okay, more moisture is needed because fine lines are cropping up. And I think it's important to have like really concentrated oils where a lot of these creams, like there's some oil in there with all the other chemicals and crap, but like the base is not really anything that's going to really deeply penetrate the skin.
Like, or it could potentially even be just suppressing it, like almost like an emollient, but not a synthetic one.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're like Vaseline?
Yes.
Like, just like sits on the surface.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so it's not actually doing any deep tissue benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It just ends up sitting there. And that's what happens when you end up needing these emulsifiers in order to blend, you know, oils and the waters. And it gets to be pretty tricky. So then the way to avoid that, I think, is to just get a pure concentrated oil, which your skin receives really well. The oils that are in there, in the serum, the main ones would be your rosehip seed oil,
mm-hmm.
your carrot seed oil, and your sea buckthorn. Carrot seed is amazing for any sun protection. It has a really high SPF. Also anti-aging, good for fine lines. Rosehip seed oil is very high in vitamin C.
Okay.
So a lot of people will buy really expensive vitamin C serums,
mm-hmm.
and you know they'll see celebrities with these overpriced like hundreds of dollars for this like small bottle of vitamin C serum, and more times than not it's a synthetic vitamin C. So I like to try to do a whole foods approach by still getting those same attributes but pulling them directly from the plants.
Mm-hmm.
So rosehip has 3 times more vitamin C than an orange.
I didn't even know that.
So things like that, along with like sea buckthorn, it's a fantastic berry that grows in Ontario. And so why not, like, let's use this amazing nature that's around us, that's right here. We don't always have to be importing these exotic oils when we've got this amazing plant here. And sea buckthorn is like high fatty acids and omegas, and it's just really good for any redness, inflammation, cell regeneration. So the combination of those, I think it kind of tackles all the different issues that you can kind of have as you start aging, and especially even just winter skin in general.
Yeah, the dryness.
As we're at the end, we've had a whole season of weathering, and now is the time that you really want to be taking care. I mean, you should have been, if you haven't been doing preventative.
Yeah.
Now is the time where you should be repairing it.
Yeah, and would you say that, like, I notice if I just try to slap on like a rich oil or cream and my skin is like to the point where it's really dry and I'm like flaking, it doesn't really absorb. Like, I feel like I need to exfoliate first. Yeah.
Yes. It's always good exfoliating. I like to in the wintertime. You just tend to be more flaky.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of, those skin cells, like, they definitely have a harder time when you're going from hot, cold, like inside, and especially the artificial heat that we deal with inside,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going out in the wind, like, absolutely exfoliating is really good. I also like to use clay-based cleansers,
mm-hmm.
just because they will help draw any like toxin, sebum that's like deep into the pores without disrupting the natural pH of the skin.
Okay.
Whereas a soap, like the average soap is around a 9.5 pH.
Oh, wow.
It can be up towards of 11. I think a mild Castile is 9.5, and then the average is around 11, whereas our skin sits at 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to not be disrupting that, because you can either, people that have dry skin or overly oily skin, you need to find a balance there. And that's why I think the clay is a good approach, because it still cleanses the skin, but, and it's good for all different skin types.
Mm-hmm.
that would be a good recommendation in the winter.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have to give that a try. Have you always been really into plants, like a plant lady, so to speak?
As a child, I wasn't. My family always was. I would say my mother is from the UK, so mm-hmm. we always had the typical English gardens, very yeah. like well kept. And my dad was always into plants. He actually ended up owning his own garden nursery for a time when I was a teenager. And he germinated his own kind of hibiscus. Like he did yeah. like a hybriding and he got to like name a couple of hibiscuses. So the green thumb was there, but it wasn't until I would say I was older that I really embraced it. And herbs are really hard to kill. So
I was going to say, like, can you give me pointers? Because like, as you can see, like half my plants are dying here. I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
So I stick to the herbs. Yeah. They will be so patient with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Figure if they can like live in the wild in those harsh conditions, mm-hmm. then we can do it.
And mint, like for example, I found it spreads like a weed. Like my stepmom wanted to put some in her garden the other year and then it just took over like her whole rose bed. And she's like, this mint is everywhere. Like what am I supposed to do?
It's so true. There's so many that end up, depending on like the size of the garden, a good recommendation is to plant it in a pot in the garden.
Okay.
So it will only go, it still will spread quite a bit, but at least then its root system isn't going to overtake the thing that's next to it.
Lesson learned for next time. And she's always like, Holly, come over here and help me pull out all this mint.
Well, at least you got like fresh mint, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Try it, make some good tea.
Win-win situation.
For sure.
Yeah. So you have an upcoming event, a gardening workshop. Did you want to tell us about that?
Yes. I am going to be doing a spring gardening workshop at the Goodness Me on Waterloo on April 26th from 1 until 3. Nice. Tickets will be up on my Instagram this week. They will, so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be going through a few different herbs that you can grow in your own backyard.
Okay.
There are going to be a few adaptogens, which are good for stress. Adaptogens are fantastic because they help your body kind of, as the name says, adapt to several different situations. So mm-hmm. even fighting coughs and colds, it kind of supports you through that. Dealing with stress, it will support you through that.
Yeah.
So I find they're very versatile and definitely a great one to always have in your garden. Nice. We will also be looking at some nervines and calmative herbs. Those will be the ones for any anxiety, restlessness, sleeplessness, mm-hmm. just a general overall one that's good to take if you kind of are just feeling a little more anxious lately, a little overloaded, stressed.
Don't we all?
Definitely. Yeah. And I find when we get to the end of the winter, we're a bit more moody. We're our patience is quite a bit shorter.
Yeah.
So that's always a good supportive herb to have.
And adaptogens are great for supporting the immune system.
Yes.
Right? So we're all battling colds and flus and everything.
Exactly. And it kind of goes hand in hand because you get stressed when you're sick because then depending on, if your kids are kids are sick and you have to avoid certain things, or if you have a workload and now it's put behind because you can't make it into work, and you want to be able to take that time when you are sick and actually just really focus on the healing. And so that's what these herbs are really good. And then the other herb we're going to cover is bitters.
Ooh,
so
nice.
Digestion.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of inflammation of the gut going on lately. People not, eating what they should be. And I get it. I'm guilty of that too. Especially at the end of the winter, you're going for your more comfort food.
Carbs. Yes.
Carbs, huge. Even, those, I don't know how those, New Year's resolutions are going by the time we get to March, is it only, 8% is left that we're actually committed to it? So I find you tend to be sluggish and not as motivated. So to kind of get that digestion going, bitters are great. They're good before you eat and if you've kind of had a bit too much. And digestion's also great, again, if you're fighting anything viral. If you want that gut flora in optimal condition to be able to help just pass and flush everything through. So mm-hmm. I think all three of those together are just a really good team, a combination of herbs that everyone should have in their garden. And we, I'll only be dealing with the perennials so that they come back every year. So okay. if you do have just like a little window herb set up or in the actual garden, these ones will be ones that come back every year and hopefully flourish and get bigger and nice. Bigger like your mom's peppermint.
Yeah. Amazing. I can't wait to hear more about it. And I kind of want to check it out myself. You'll probably see it popping up on my Instagram as I share it once it's live.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining me today. Do you want to share like where we can find you online?
Absolutely. You can find me www.huronearth. That's HuronEarth.com. You can connect with me about workshops. You could do orders through there or any sort of events stuff, as well as my Instagram is huron.earth and Facebook is just at huronearth.
Perfect. Thanks again for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, my acne was so horrible in my teens and I still get some to this day. I used to get tons of rashes and eczema, and I could not figure out why. I started doing research and seeking out some natural practitioners, and what I learned really surprised me. Your gut health directly impacts your skin. So dysbiosis in the gut leads to inflammation, which shows up in your skin. My gut health had been so out of whack since I was a baby, so it made a lot of sense. Because your skin is one of several organs that your body uses to flush out toxins. So basically, a happy gut equals healthy skin. For years, I tried to go it alone. I did research and I had tried a ton of different herbs and supplements to kill off the bacterial overgrowth in my gut. I did make some progress, but there were times that I actually made things worse and ended up with tons of rashes and side effects. When I started working with practitioners is when things really started to turn around for me, because I found out that it's not just your gut that affects your skin, it's other factors as well, including hormonal imbalances. So it's a pretty complicated healing situation. If you have questions about how to heal your gut and finally achieve glowing, healthy skin, book a free discovery session with me. The link is in the show notes. But I can hear you saying, but Holly, I need to get started today. I have events coming up and I need to look my best. So in the show notes, there's also a link to download my free 7 actionable steps to start healing your gut today. So it's a free download to heal your gut and get glowing skin. Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Hey, if you have 30 seconds to spare, if you could leave me a rating and review in your podcast app, I would greatly appreciate it. It helps women just like you discover my podcast and start their own healing journey. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you next week.